The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wildly wonderful Wednesday as we lift each other up in the middle of the week. First up is a little review of just how blessed we are as children of God. Next, we talk about the watch, the wristwatch, of life and the wisdom of keeping time. And finally, we ask, what is the Lamb's Book of Life, and can I read my name in it?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to text us, 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. If you've got a praise report, a prayer request, something you want to ask, questions you want answered on the show, which we're going to be doing later on today in today's show. The first trivia question up for today is a true or false. So you got a 50-50 shot right here, right now. David, true or false? David wrote the entire book of Psalms. True or false? David, King David, wrote the entire book of Psalms. True or false? 214-210-8483. Remember to text, because I can't get to the phone calls during this hour. Also, keep in mind, you can really just reach out to us about anything, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Couple things to tell you right off the bat. I received an email from the owner of the station, and barring anything that could come up, which it could, we will be back in the studio on Monday. Now, we did this a week ago and said we were going to be in the studio last Monday. It just didn't work out that way. We're going to go one more Monday, but we're going to try and do our best to work with everybody involved and to really keep it sparse and keep it clean and just keep it simple, get in, get out kind of mentality. So keep us in prayer for that. That would be awesome. Number two, don't forget about our DNA. D, drawing closer to the Lord. That's the D. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. The Christian DNA is to draw closer to the Lord. Not just draw closer to the Lord, but draw closer. Keep drawing closer. Keep getting closer. And then never be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. It's like that's the last thing you want in life. And always be ready. I mean, it's hard to think of yourself as Johnny on the spot kind of thing. But think of yourself as always prepared as a vessel for the Lord. He might call on you when you least expect it. He might call on you when you're fully prepared. He might call on you when you're fully not thinking about it. Be ready, period. That's what the Lord tells us to do. So we're keeping it simple, keeping it easy, keeping the love exactly where it needs to be, and letting you know right off the bat, D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Okay, excited about the studio. I will tell you one thing that I got to tell you of a personal nature, and that is I may have found my thesis direction. May, big may. So I need you guys praying for me. We talk about money, we talk about giving, we talk about all that stuff. That's fantastic. I need you praying for me that this direction that I'm going in is what the Lord wants, and I want the Lord to affirm it, confirm it. I want Skittles in the sky. I want rainbows, or at least I want to know it's a good choice. So please be in prayer for me. I need wisdom. Most of you know that I need wisdom anyway, so that's not a stretch. Tomorrow, we got expository teaching. I'm doing tomorrow. We've got Ephesians. It's a very cool section. But I'm also going to offer something to the audience that another listener, you know, came up with. They had something they came across in their kind of studies, and I'm just going to share it because I think it's cool. And it's always cool to share stuff from one another. That's the whole point. Is this is the Christian community. You're in midpoint right here. So let's enjoy it. Let's strengthen one another. And let's recognize today for what it is. You know what today is? It's frog jumping day. Oh, you didn't know that, huh? It's frog jumping day. It's cough drop day. If you were a kid like me in the 60s, the Ludens were the ones you thought were really good. It's leprechaun's day, and a lot of people go, you can't say leprechaun, you're a Christian. It's like, dude, I ate Lucky Charms for 10 years. Don't tell me I can't say it's leprechaun day. That's ridiculous. And yes, I used to eat all that stuff and then make sure the marshmallows were there at the end so that I could have a marshmallowy milk kind of a shaky kind of thing. It's National Apple Pie Day, and you can't beat that no matter what. It's just like, that's so great. It's National Apple Pie Day. I mean, you can't go wrong. It's not my favorite pie, but you can't tell me you don't like apple pie. Oh, come on. It is also National Fruit Cocktail Day. Not as impressive, but this is impressive. National Receptionist Day. And I will tell you one thing. Working at a big corporation like I did when I was working with Salem and working at different companies, I always thought that the first person that represented the company was the best person that represented the company, and that was often the receptionist. So I'm just very partial to giving props to them. On this day in 1950, for those that have any care whatsoever, the first Formula One Grand Prix race was held. On 1983, this is only for talk show people like me that think this is weird. In 1983, Dick Cavett was running around on the Tonight Show in his shorts after he dropped his pants, and then Johnny Carson replied to him, you do things like this, and you can't figure out why you're getting canceled off PBS. See, I think that's funny. But the really sad thing, my wife and I have been binging on one particular show in this last so many weeks, and it's Star Trek Enterprise. That's not the one, not the one, two, or three, four. It's like number five in the series. And the final episode of Star Trek Enterprise aired on television 2005 on this day. So we only got a season to go, so we're almost there. Let's talk about something very important. Well, we're always talking about Jesus, so that's the most important thing. But 1 Chronicles 17:16 says something that I want you to own, that I want to own, and that we need to own. It says this, "Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, 'Who am I, O Lord God, and what is in my house that you have brought me this far?'" I want you to think about David and going through all the process he did, being kind of a shepherd boy, and then fighting against Goliath, and then being hunted down, and he becomes the king, and he's in charge of things, and he looks at all of that stuff, and there's a lot of up and a lot of down, and he did a lot of dumb things, so let's not try and, you know, try and say he didn't. He did. But the Lord blessed him, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord walked with him. And if the Lord held everything against him, he'd have been wiped out ages ago, just like you and I. And David came to this realization as he became more mature in the Lord, that he was able to look up to God and say, "Who am I? I mean, I'm nobody." This isn't somebody who's wondering whether God exists. That's kind of a different plane. This isn't somebody who's trying to figure out the aorta salutis, the process of salvation, whether it's justification, sanctification, where glorification comes into play, where the Holy Spirit's in region. He doesn't care. He just comes before the Lord and he goes, "Who am I? I mean, I'm a mess. My house, he could have said it right there. There's a lot of bad kids in my house." He could have said that. That would have been absolutely true. He goes, "But who am I that you've brought me thus far? You've brought me this far, so far I didn't even deserve it. And all I'm asking you and myself to do at the same time is to own this spirit, take on this disposition, take on this attitude." Because you know what? things could have gone left. They could have gone right. Sure, if Israel turned left in the desert, they might have had the oil. That wasn't the plan. Here's the plan. God worked out a map for your life. You've been walking through it. Maybe you've done it for 70 years. Maybe you've done it for 7. Maybe you've done it for 7 days. Who cares? God has got something organized. God has got something so greatly prepared for you that you, in sincereness and modesty and true humility, can sit down before God and just say, "Who am I?" And you could say that all morning long, all afternoon long, and all day long, that you have brought me this far. I mean, just think about this. How far has God brought you? Okay? Take you when you first said yes and think, how far did God bring you? Pretty far. And you think, well, why? Why? Who are you? Well, according to God's declaration, you are a child of the Most High God. And that's why. But it's fair to come before the Lord in an earnestness, in a humility, in a sincerity. I could tell you right now that I've had a lot of ups and downs. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better, by the way. But I've been rich and I've been poor. Bottom line, I've been blessed a trillion times more than I ever deserve, more than I'm ever worthy of. All because he loves me. I'll tell you right now, sometimes I open up the Word of God, I think, I can't believe I'm even seeing what I'm seeing. You think I'm kidding. I will tell my wife in one devotional day, 9 things I've come across after reading something the 100th time, because the Word is so deep. I'm telling you, it's right and righteous for you and I to say, who am I? That you love us so. That you've brought me so far, that you care so much about me, about my family, about my life, that you're interested. Who am I? And what is my house? That you have brought me this far. Isn't that just the most wonderful, earnest thought? God is so good to you and I. We think of this, I mean, the world is, they're just so deceived. They have no idea what's going on. They speak of that of which they do not know. Right? Who am I, Lord? Here's my response. Thank you. That's my response. Okay. Back to the trivia question before we exit. The trivia question, true or false, David wrote the entire book of Psalms. False. But he did write quite a few of them, most of them, in fact. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a whole hearty welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the Father and the Father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. Let me send out an apology to Tara. I don't know if I jumped in early or not, but the IM wasn't working. It does happen. Anyway, here's our next trivia question, 214-210-8483. I need you to text it, remember? Text it, remember? Text it. This is a tough one. Did you hear me? Are you ready? This is tough. Who did Peter raise from the dead in the city of Joppa? Who did Peter raise from the dead in the city of Joppa? Okay, there it is. Boom. Boom. That's a tough one, huh? All right, so got to think that through. I can tell you this right now. Probably looking somewhere between the first five books, maybe a little leaning in there towards that book of Acts. I don't know. Maybe somewhere between, you know, chapter 7 and chapter 12. I don't know. I can't answer that. Here is what I can tell you. I can tell you we'd like you to go to the website hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. It's straightforward and it's simple. There's my testimonies on there. There's radio interviews on there. There's audios. There's videos. There's little messages. There's little written messages on there. Pretty soon we're going to have all of the specs to build your own Star Trek Enterprise. We're working on that, so keep checking out the site, and we'll let you know when it gets up there. Also, there is an opportunity in two or three spots for you to give. And the reason that we do that is because that's how we sustain and survive, how we go through our survival, our sustaining, our prevailing, how we go through that process is by your giving. We have ministry partners who do so. We do as much promotion as we can for them on the show, and then by listener giving. It's 100% tax deductible. We're 100% legitimate, normal, a recognized nonprofit corporation by the Internal Revenue Service. At the end of the year, you'll get a little piece of paper by, I think it's January 31st, about what your giving is, and just the whole process. So it's all normal. We want you to give. If you can't give, do not stress. I cannot express this enough. I would petition you to just pray for us. For me, that is the biggest form of partnership that exists in Christianity. If you're not able to participate in the one way, you can certainly pray for us. And if you are giving, you should still be praying for us, because we need people praying for us. Just listen to me. I think you can figure that out. HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, wind, flood, and smoke cleanup, other restoration services. How do you not like a Mighty Mouse reference? I mean, you have to love that. Anyway, Mr. Restore, that's right, only on live Christian radio in Texas could you get a Mighty Mouse reference for a restoration service company. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies, they work with all the insurance companies, MrRestore.com. Watch this, Mr., that's M-R, Mer, mm, Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E, .com. They are A-plus rated with the BBB. They got 50 years of restoration experience, and they have thousands of happy customers. That's a lot. Thousands, plural, which is why they're expanding all over the state and maybe even into other states. As well, they are strong supporters of the Adaptive Training Foundation, of which we also support, and it's a no-fee association. All fees are paid for. They're helping people that have one, two, three, or four limbs that have been severed, and if you can give to them, I would love that. If you need to give to them more than us, fine, because that ministry, they're working with people that have a very difficult time living, and I think that's just awesome stuff. MrRestore.com. Got that? Got that? You can also get there, by the way, through He Must Increase Ministry. I do want to restate the question. We do have a couple of answers in. All of the answers so far in this one are correct. I am amazed. Who did Peter raise from the dead in the city of Yaffa? That's it. Who was it? Okay? All right. Let me get into this next section of the teach, and then after this, in the very next section, this section after this one, we're going to talk about the Lamb's Book of Life. So I hope that you're able to listen and participate in what we're going to share. Okay, I'm staying in First Chronicles, but I'm backing up a little bit because I just think after all the stuff that everybody's gone through, and now if you're just going to be honest, okay, and we're going to talk about leadership in the very last segment, if you're just going to be honest, things are so nutty. When you turn the television on, it doesn't matter whether you're a person that is left-leaning or right-leaning. It doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. If you turn the television on, you're like, oh, okay, you know what? I'd rather watch The Simpsons because it's so crazy, and your brain just like, oh. And one of the things that I think happens is we get so caught up in all that's going on and all the stuff that is around us that is unknowable, that we forget about something that is extremely pertinent to your Christian walk. And this is what this is. 1 Chronicles 17:11, when your days are fulfilled, then you must go and be with your fathers. You're thinking, what? Wait, I thought this was going to be a little bit of a cheery section. Nah. When your days are fulfilled, then you must go and be with your fathers. When your time is filled, this is something you better... This is why you can't get caught up in wars that God does not put you in. This is why spiritual warfare is critical for your life. This is why top center is the only place to start. I don't care if the Lord has you in the midst of politics. I could care less. As long as everything you do starts from top center, then it's fine. But here's what it says. Yeah, got a time frame. You have a time limit. You ever watch Beat the Clock? They had to do those things before the clock went over, right? If they did it before the clock was went off, then they would win the prize. If not, they would lose. Everybody laugh at them. Well, you have a clock. You don't know what the clock is in the sense of what day it will go off or when the buzzer will go off, but you have a time. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. It's not unlimited. Here's the problem. When you're in your teens, none of this matters. When you're, for the most part, 90%. When you're in your 20s, you kind of feel indestructible. You think there's no limit to your time. Everything will just go on. When you're in your 30s, you still feel indestructible, but you have these moments where you have some aches, some pains, maybe some breaks that kind of give you an idea that things are a little tougher. when you're 40s, you try to remember when you were in your 20s, and then you recognize that ain't happening again. And then you're in your 50s, and you go, what was that noise? I've never heard that come from my body. And then in your 60s, you start hearing noises in your body, and you don't care where they come from. And in your 70s, you just want to hear noises. It's all I'm doing is walking you through the process. Look, we have a number of days. And Scripture tells us to number those days. Be aware of that. Ephesians 5:16 says this, make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. There is limited time and opportunity for every one of us. And what they do is here is where premillennial dispensationalists is great. And that is, the Lord could come any second. Well, good. Well, you know, it's not acting busy. You better be busy in the kingdom of God, not acting busy, right? That's where that eschatology shines, because people are fervent and witnessing and sharing, and Jesus come back any second. You got to get ready. You got to get saved. That's the right attitude. Because, folks, there's a time limit. And you can, you know, people are like, well, we don't know that time. That's right. Nobody knows the individual or the corporate time. And for me, I don't get a lot of thrill when they go, well, we don't know the times, we know the seasons. You're missing the point. The point is to be busy and to do the stuff of the kingdom, to occupy until he comes, to advance, to take the next step, to be open to witness to the next person, to share, to pray, to intercede, to care, to love, to offer, to give. That's what we're called to. And we're supposed to do that all the time, not sometimes. Let's do that on Sunday, because that's when everybody sees our best. Yeah, but God is still watching Sunday night through Saturday night. It's not just Sunday morning. Being a Christian is not about Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. It's about a 24/7 commitment to Jesus Christ that says, I follow you, Lord. And when we don't, it's not like he doesn't know. So I'm not dropping that on you, because you and I never try to do this. I never try to drop things on people and say, you know, be legalistic. Be legalistic, Larry. I mean, that's the last thing you want to do is be legalistic, Larry. One person I can't stand. Here's the bottom line. Tell the Lord, I need to be a little bit more aware of my time. Acknowledge it. Help me to make the most of my opportunities. Help me, teach me to number my days. He even says, teach me. You got to learn this stuff. You got to learn it. You got to grow in it. Teach me this so I can do a better job. There's a time limit, Lord. Help me. Help me to do a better job of it. I mean, that is the way to do it. That is the right spirit to do it with. Okay? Okay. I know you guys love this, but it's true. We need this. It's like, got to keep in mind this stuff. Okay. So who was it that Peter raised from the dead in the city of Joppa? Dorcas, also called Tabitha. Tabitha technically is a young girl, get up kind of thing, but Dorcas was the actual name. I'm talking about a pronoun. Is a pronoun? Pronoun. Doesn't matter. If you said Tabitha, you said Dorcas, said either one, you got it right. Here you go. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Sometimes welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Quick reminder, if you want to reach out to us, text. 214-210-8483. Gonna fire off a little bit of a tougher one, okay? Because I have confidence in you guys. What did the spies who were sent into Canaan see that made them scared? If you remember, there were 12 spies that were sent into the land. And the 12 spies came back and gave a report. They were scared. Why? What was it that scared them? If you know the answer, text 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. So you can tell we go all over the place in regards to our trivia. That's part of the fun. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. And we obviously encourage you to check that out, and a good place to give. But it's a good place to get some really cool videos, and mostly you got like 9 or 10 little audio things in there. That's really what I like the most about it. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner. Well, we're moving on. Who is better than Johnny Hill and Men of God Moving? They are great. menofgodmoving.com. Just keeping it straightforward to you. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if you have to move and you're thinking, okay, regardless of what it is, moving is an essential service, and you want to get a really great price. We've already had people from our show, so I know that there's been 4, if not 5, and possibly even 6, that have used Men of God Moving as their mover and have gotten a great discount, and they're really appreciative, and Johnny makes sure that everybody gets taken care of. I mean, he kind of like oversees it. He makes sure everything is good. Guy's like 2 years younger than me, but he looks like he's in his 30s. Drives me nuts. Anyhow, Johnny, menofgodmoving.com, that's their website. You can also connect to them through hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. We've got some answers already coming in on the question. I'll ask it one more time, and then we're going to discuss the Lamb's Book of Life. Simple question. What did the spies who were sent into Canaan see that made them scared? If you know the answer, text to 214-210 8483. About a week ago, somebody texted me a question. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read most of it because it's just easier to do it that way instead of me trying to always, you know, kind of paraphrase. It says, howdy, could you discuss what's in the Lamb's Book of Life and how to be written in it? Would sure help those of us who are not sure where we stand with God and the gospel. Is not always as clear as it needs to be. So here's the question. What is the Book of Life? Is the first question. First of all, is there a difference between the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life? Only if you're really lousy at theology. Okay? Now, don't get mad at me that I said that, because I know there's some big teachers that teach that. That's fine. But it's like the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Jesus. There is no difference. It's the kingdom. And so the difference between the book of the Lamb and the book of life is no difference. But let's talk about the Lamb's book of life so you can just know. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it declares, anyone's name who is not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. The book of life in this context is the set of names of those who will live with God forever in heaven. It is the role of those who are saved. It's like the roll call. This book of life is mentioned in Revelation 3:5 and 20:12 and in Philippians 4:3. The same book's also called Lamb's Book of Life, which contains the names who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Revelation 13:8 and 21:27. So how can you be sure your name is written in the book of life? Well, be sure you're saved, be sure you've repented of your sin, and be sure that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Once your name is written in the book of life as a believer, it will never be erased. Revelation 3:5 and Romans 8:37 through 39. So there's a great white throne judgment described in Revelation 20:11 through 15, but that's a judgment for unbelievers. That passage it makes it clear that no one at that judgment has his name in the book of life. That's Revelation really 20:12 through 14. It's like the fate of the ungodly has been sealed. Their names are not in the book. Their punishment is sure. It's over. Some people point to Revelation 3:5 as proof that a person can lose his salvation. However, the promise of Revelation 3:5 is clear that the Lord will not erase because he overcomes. I will not blot out his name from the book of life. An overcomer is one who is victorious over temptations, trials, and evils of this world. That is the redeemed. The saved are written in the registry and have the promise of eternal security. So the idea that some Christians get mad at other Christians because Christians want to be secure in their salvation or comfortable with it, not fear every 3 or 5 seconds, angers some Christians. That's the biggest problem. Not whether you read the scripture and you interpret it differently than another Christian, but that other Christians get mad at another Christian because they see the scripture differently. That's the problem. God's not up there going, oh my gosh, that person believes that I love them forever and they are secure in me. Oh, how terrible. Okay, that is not what's going on in heaven. That's going on in the flesh. That's going on in the old nature. That's going on in the carnal man. You imagine God up there. This is the same kind of rubbish that you hear when it comes to be Christmas time, and you get the legalistic Larrys come out, and they go, well, that might not have been the exact hour or the exact day that Jesus was actually born. You think God's up there going, oh, my goodness, they missed it by 16 hours. I'm so mad. What? Don't you think God is pleased that people are celebrating the birth of his son? Why don't you just leave it there? What people do is they add to it, and they add to it, and they add to it. That's Pharisaical. Here's the bottom line, okay? Your name is written in the book of life by accepting God's gift to the world, Jesus Christ. We read that anybody who believes in Jesus possesses eternal or everlasting life. How do you accept Jesus? Kind of the Romans 10:10 thing. You believe in your heart, and you confess his lordship with your mouth, and you are saved. Not you may be saved, you could be saved. Maybe you're saved for 1 hour, and then you're not saved for the next hour. The fallacy is, when people say once saved, always saved, they're not connecting it properly to once one moment of faith, always having moments of faith. The scripture is clear. If you believe continually that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he died on the cross, he was buried, 3 days later he rose from the dead, he ascended to the Father, and he's returning, if you believe that and confess with your mouth, you are saved. What happens is somebody say, oh, I believed that when I was 9, so I should be fine. But they don't believe it anymore? No, they're not fine. That's not saved. So that's different. So what we know for sure is that Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you call on the name of the Lord? Did you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord? Do you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead? Because if you do, you're saved. And the only person that's trying to unsave you, which is not really doable, of course, is Satan. I don't care if he's using other Christians or not. It's like, look, God doesn't do a work and then go, oh, I hope that works. I patched that up. I hope it works. You're born again. You don't get the point of being born again is that he's not using the old you. He's using the new you. That's the whole point. So from a theological point of view, it's goofy. And what irritates me more, you see, I get a little mad about this, right? Okay. The bottom line is, let me just say this. Your name is written in the book of life as a child of the Most High God. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, if you acknowledge, if you've repented, acknowledged, received, accepted, processed, yielded, submitted to the testimony of God, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light with all the privileges that come with it. That doesn't mean that you will exactly walk, look, speak, and feel like Jesus. But what it does mean is you said yes to God, and God said, you are mine, put his arms around you, and that's it. What it doesn't mean is that other Christians have the right to tell you, well, just because you believe that, you're evil. Like, that is so dumb. The biggest argument I have is not with non-believers. Non-believers hate Christians. I have a bigger problem when Christians hate Christians. That's a much bigger issue. You should expect, and I should expect, non-believers to hate us. I don't like it when Christians who name the name of Christ belittle other believers. I think that's absurdity. And being a Bapticostal, Calminian, manifold millennialist, I would gladly argue with any all the way down the line. So the bottom line to that is if you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and rose again, and you've repented and of your sins, you've repented of your sins, confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. You're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Ta-da. That show's over. Let's go to the next movie. Got that? Okay. You see, I get a little excited about this, don't you? All right, why were the children of Israel, what was the thing that the spies came across? They were like all freaking out. They ran into the giants of the land. Although they were only giants in their own eyes. They weren't necessarily the same kind of giants that we would think of. But that's for another day. Let's take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church we call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes. It's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know before I give you the trivia question that the group that normally cuts the yards around here just pulled up. There's about six of them, and you could be hearing stuff in the background, which I could do nothing about. If you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. I think it's really, I'm kind of passionate about this. Look at, once you confess Jesus Christ, once you acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are in the Lamb's Book of Life. This isn't something where God's got a book and he goes, you're in. And then he takes an eraser and he goes, you're out. And then he puts a pencil back and you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. These aren't Keno numbers, okay? This is your name. And this is something that people forget, that the person's name was written before the foundation of the earth. So from a theological point of view, it's pretty strong. 214-210-8483 is the text for this last trivia question. As Isaac was dying and blind, who suggested that Jacob should steal the blessing from his brother? What? Who would ever do such a thing, right? Isaac was dying and blind. Who suggested that Jacob should steal the blessing from his brother? Oh, interesting. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from one of our ministry partners. Kimberly Ellis, Kimberly and her wonderful husband, Tony. Very simple. They work with Fathom Realty. They are fantastic people, first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales. If you just want to talk to somebody about real estate, Dave, I want to talk to somebody about real estate. I just want to talk to somebody who knows. I don't want to have to give them $1 million to talk to them. You don't have to pay her a penny. Just talk to her and give her a chance and see if she can help you out. 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES. Kimberly will work with you. She'll kind of tell you what's going on, give you a feel for what's going on, get a sense of what's going on, give you a chance to talk, ask questions. You don't have any obligation to utilize her services, but she will be glad to offer herself as a service and a servant for the kingdom of God. That's how she is. 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES for Kimberly Ellis, our very, very good friend. All right, trivia question that I asked before, and then we'll get into the final teach. Pretty straightforward. Isaac was dying. Who suggested that Jacob should steal the blessing? Who was it that said to Jacob, you should steal the blessing? Who did that? 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. Text if you know the answer. Okie dokie, last teaching of the hour. Notice that we do a lot of different things, go a lot of different directions, because my brain is split up in multitudes of directions, and I can only do what I can do. So as you know, you'll be watching television, or you'll be taking notes and observing all the different things that are going on. And sometimes I think what happens, and I get more concerned for church leaders than anybody else, but sometimes there's this notion that a person that is a leader is flawless. So can I just address that in the reality of Scripture? Okay? Even after Peter was not just a apostle, but the key apostle who made the proclamation in Acts chapter 2, the biggest sermon for the church, after that he got rebuked for doing something wrong. Everybody, let me say this nicely, everybody except for Jesus Christ, leader or not, has messed up, is messing up, or will mess up. I know. This is not a justification for an entire church group to do something wrong. It's not a justification for pastors to abuse authority. It's not a justification for priests to abuse their authority in the Catholic Church. It's not a justification for youth ministers and evangelical churches to take advantage of young women or young boys. None of that's justifiable. All of that's sin, and all of that's ridiculous. All of that should necessitate that those people need serious help. It's not that they can't be redeemed, it's just that they need serious help, and they need to recover from where they're at more than anything else that takes place. That's not what I'm talking about. That's kind of obvious. I'm talking about leaders that you don't know, or that you know at a distance, or that you think of, whether they're political, whether they're spiritual, whether they're church-oriented, whether they're governmental, whether within your church or not. Do not put upon leadership something that they can never attain to, which is this mindset of never making a mistake. There is only one. His name is Jesus. He's the only one that never made a mistake. 1 Chronicles 21:1. Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Even the best of our leaders at moments can be influenced, misdirected in their decisions and their actions by the enemy. 1 Chronicles 21:6. This is talking about Joab. He did not number Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's command was abhorrent to Joab. In other words, the king told Joab, David told Joab, number everybody. And he goes, why am I doing that? I don't need to do that. These are God's people. And he goes, number everybody. And he goes, I'm not doing that. That's wrong. And he goes, number everybody. And he goes, fine, I'll number everybody, even though it's stupid. And he goes out to do it, but he won't number the Levites or the Benjamins because it's just so wrong. So I want to say this, and you're going to get upset with me, but it's okay. I love you anyway. It's biblical insanity to believe that we should follow any member of humanity in contradiction to God. Did you hear what I said? It's biblical insanity to believe that we should follow any member of humanity in contradiction to God. We follow as the Lord leads us and places authority over us, as long as that authority does not breach the command, the character, or the consciousness of God. By the way, I wrote this line, so listen to it again. We follow as the Lord leads us and places authority over us, as long as that authority does not breach the command, the character, or the consciousness of God. Like, whoa. Joab was disobedient to a sinful and repugnant command by the king, and he was right for doing so. So when this is the thing that drives me bonkers. So you have people that say, well, the scripture says obey. And then and the people that use that, when Obama was in charge, the ecumenical church would say, the scripture says obey the leaders. And then when Trump came in charge, they were like, we should disobey. It's just like, you people are all full of baloney, every one of you. It's amazing. Why don't you go roll out my backyard because I need fertilizer? It's ridiculous. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is our job is to follow as that person follows the Lord. If that person does something that's contradictory, you're not going to follow. If then all of a sudden the government says, oh, shoot everybody. It's like, what? This is the problem that people have in regards to abortion. It's like, we believe it's murder. The government's like, we'll support it. It's like, we're not supporting that. Everybody should be able to do that. No, they shouldn't. And these are these contradictions, these fights. Why I'm bringing this up is because it's bizarre for Christians to think that all the leaders do all the things perfectly all the time, no matter who they are. I'm not just talking about your opposition leaders, folks. I'm talking about the leaders of your own party. I'm talking about the leaders even in your own church. You know what? If your pastor never made a mistake, he never made a decision. Congratulations, he did nothing. Mistakes are a part of growing up, remember? That's why you used to call them growing pains. I think I need to get back in the studio. That's way too much stuff, huh? Okay. I'm really not mad at anybody. I'm actually in terrific mood. I'm just trying to say, keep it where it needs to be kept, okay? Don't let your mind be blinded by the enemy that the leaders amongst you, with your party or not, are always needing to be perfect. There is one who is perfect. His name is Jesus. There is no other, nor will there ever be. The rest of this needs a lot of our mercy and our grace, too. Right? Okay. All right, folks. The answer to the question, Mama Rebecca. Joy got that so good. Mama Rebecca was the answer to the question on who moved our good buddy Jacob that he should steal the blessing. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.